Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, all you monsters out there, and welcome to Post Show Recap's coverage of The Witcher Season 2. My name is Mike Bloom, and we have done it. We've come to the end of the road, the end of the trail, if you will. A little beaten, a little bloodied, a little possessed, but feeling fine as we talk about the finale of The Witcher Season 2. Angela Bloom, the last episode of The Witcher that is currently available in society.
True. Just a little possessed.
Just a little possessed.
Just a little bit possessed.
Is there anyone you would want to be possessed by most?
What?
If you could pick any spirit who you'd want to be possessed by.
That's such a wide range.
I know. I picked basically every person in existence.
It doesn't make any sense. It's a really dumb question.
Mine would be Charles Nelson Reilly.
Why?
Because he's funny.
Okay. I don't know. Sigourney Weaver? She seems fun.
I think it'd actually be paying it forward, right? Considering she got possessed in Ghostbusters.
She did.
So she's like, shoes on the other foot.
No, I don't think I'd like to be possessed by anybody, but thanks for the offer.
You're welcome. I'll come back around in case you want to take me up on it. Much like Volathmir, right? I'm just in your head being like, you could be possessed by
Death
Sigourney
bitch.
Weaver. Death bitch goes home is the informal title of this episode.
That is what happens.
Death bitch goes home.
What's her motive? Wants to go home.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about it. You know, no spoiler section because the season is now done. This is the final episode. That being said, we are going to fully talk through the episode. So if for whatever reason you've wandered in here and you're like, oh, they're talking about the finale and you haven't checked out our previous seven weeks of coverage, go ahead and do so because just to send off all of the spoiler phobes here that wander their way into here, 3, 2, 1, Dooney!
Yeah, I was going to say, when is he going to scream Dooney this time?
We were rewatching the episode separately, and you were sitting next to me in bed, and once you finished the episode, I did think in my head for a second, I wonder if she got to the part with Dooney as Amir, and then you mimicked
the end.
Yeah, but you mimicked my
yes,
reaction
I
by
said,
just rolling
Dooney!
Over and going, Dooney!
Yeah, the dunes, man.
The dunes.
Hedgehog himself.
The spice is flowing here as Amir.
That's a very specific reference to Dune, the movie / novel /
It's close
other
enough.
Movie.
I mean, I've been experiencing a lot of Dune the past few months. So, yeah, we're talking about the final episode of Family. Everything comes to a head, right? The found family,
yes.
The trio that is the center part of The Witcher.
The previous family, the Found family,
the Proud family.
The new family. It's all just, yeah.
And the Proud family's coming back, too. So
I did see that.
Everything old is new.
Very exciting.
Sugar Mama would be a great Witcher.
Probably, yes.
Probably. But yeah, this is where, you know, our three central characters, it's been built up as this sort of like Found family that's in the books. Now we finally get it.
Yeah.
Here. They're finally together.
Think it's kind of building upon what has happened throughout the season, as well as Ciri finding her found family at Kaer Morhen.
Tongue twister.
Which is what makes the opening scene like guts ya. Speaking of gutted.
Yeah, I was going to say literally pulling people's guts out.
Well,
so.
Not really. She just kind of slices their throat while telling them to shush.
So let's get into, appropriately enough, episode 8. Family, and we start in. So, is this a dream? Is this like
no,
a
no? This
mind
is
palace?
Her. No, this is the opening sequence is Ciri. No,
right? No, it's well, it's Ciri in the little. She wakes up and Mouse Sack is there.
Oh yes, yes, yes. But isn't before that happens is when?
No, it's the very first thing that happens is she wakes up.
I forget.
But I guess the big question is obviously Volothmir possessed Ciri. Is this like Ciri's mind sort of just being placed in a dreamlike state?
What reminds me of it actually is like the random sequence in Labyrinth where she's inside the bubble and it's like a ball. Like it's very much so that vibe where it's like, no, don't go. Like this is your home now. Like
so
very
who
weird.
Who's Toby in this situation? Yaskir? Geralt?
Yeah, Yaskir for sure.
But no, and then
her weird uncle Yaskir.
And Death Bitch is the, I guess he's the Goblin King.
Yeah,
right?
He's a Goblin King. But yeah, basically like trying to keep her satisfied and happy so that she doesn't fight back against whatever possession is going on. Mm-hmm. So she's in kind of her happy place.
Right. Though it is noted that she does walk by the very knife that she's going to use to, you know, kill a bunch of people. But this is where we're going to get a lot of cameos in this episode. And we talked about this in our kickoff show, right? We asked, what's the chance that any of these characters who died in season one show up? And you basically said only in flashbacks. And we sort of get one here.
Well, we get Calanthe.
We get Calanthe. Now we don't just see the back of her head.
We get
Mouse Sack. We get Pavetta. We get Dooney. But it's interesting. Yeah, that I'm glad that they brought them back. Because, like, man, I miss seeing Mouse Sack. You know,
And it's interesting, too, because they must have just not been able to get the actor that played Iced. Because he's there.
I was wondering why Iced was put on ice, as it were. Maybe they could say he was off fighting some battle or something.
Yeah, he's in the scenes, but it's just like the back of some guy's head. It's clearly not him.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll hope for Iced for season 3.
Yeah.
But basically, Geralt and Yennefer are like hastily galloping to Kaer Morhen. Well, most are Geralt, and Yennefer is like, I'm coming too. I'm sorry again about trying to sacrifice her.
Yeah, well, and I think also, you know, we get a scene of, I think you're wrong. I think the first scene is not Ciri waking up in the ballroom. I think it's her waking up in, or her in Kaer Morhen walking past the knife.
No, well, so it starts with Mousak and then cuts to the knife. So, like, it's very near each other.
Yeah, and they're wearing the same outfit.
They are wearing, and that's what makes things confusing as well. Is
would Ciri be? It's weird that that Death Bitch decided to put on the white dress that Ciri had on in episode one. But
yeah, it's
okay.
I mean, I guess you have to go with you have to scan the
vibe,
brain, right, and be like, oh, what is she like? Right, white dresses, of course. I only watched the first episode of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't watch the entire thing.
But yeah, so basically, they skipped the entirety of Yennefer and Geralt, doing anything apart from right when they get to Kaer Morhen.
Right. Essentially, when they get there, they're like, okay, let's talk now, finally.
Yeah, it's like, well, she's riding after him on horseback going, Geralt! Geralt! So was she doing that the entire time they were from Sintra to Kaer Morhen, yelling after him?
I would imagine, yeah. Well, not even Sintra. Remember, they warped into the middle of, they warped to her hut.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's in a no, that's like nowhere. That's like in a
nether
space.
So how did they get back?
They warped back, but they were in Sintra first. So
yeah,
they worked back to Sintra, and then they went to Kaer Morhen.
No, I just find it, because the last time we saw them was they were at the hut.
Yeah, but the hut is in like a
in like a weird
plane of existence.
Weird
like,
nebulous plane.
Yeah. But yeah, so they're, Geralt!
Yeah, and so when they finally get, he's like, what?
Yeah,
and she basically
exactly.
says, oh, you know, Volothmir is not just feeding off of sadness. Like, she's very specific. She targets you. She did it to me. She says,
yeah, this is like a pure case of, I think I saw an article on vulture.com where the title of the article was The Devil Made Me Do It. And it's like, it made me laugh because it's like, yeah, that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's very much so. Did you write your name in
Goblet of Fire?
No. In the Devil's Book.
Oh, I thought you were making a Harry Potter reference.
I usually do.
When Dumbledore
so it's
gets
not...
really angry.
No, but this is like, the devil made me do it. Like, I didn't mean it.
Yeah, I saw Goody Yennefer.
Yeah, exactly.
in the woods.
So they made me do it. I have no self-control.
And so she tells Geralt, we have to protect her. And Geralt goes, I have to protect her.
Like, get the F out of here, Yennefer.
It's his mind face.
Well, what sucks is also, I think that we just, I didn't think we talked about this last time, but we see maybe like in the last episode, the Yennefer coming on board with wanting to protect Ciri. And
yeah,
it's like, how did that happen so quickly?
Yeah, showing some regret for what she did.
Well, not even that, but like Ciri's like a beacon of like she, what is she?
She says that she's like the strongest source. Like she brings the spark back to her of chaos magic.
Yeah. And so it's like, she has this like motherly instinct, but it's like, there's something about Ciri that just like attracts
Love
people
that
to
movie.
But like just attracts people to her, you know, like they, it's almost like she has some sort of spell on her that like makes her like pheromones and like everybody just like wants to be part of like her world, you know, it's like must protect the child.
Yeah. Well, the child is not doing a lot of protecting on her own as we see possessed Ciri milling through the halls. Now, when the first
This is rough to watch.
Yeah. The first time we watched this, I had faultly remembered that she killed more witchers. It seems like she only kills a couple.
She only kills two. She kills
none of the named
no
ones.
There's one that's like a named one, but I don't remember it. But anyway, so she the first one she goes to, she like slices his throat and tells him to like while she's doing it, which is like terrifying.
Yeah.
And he's watching the whole thing and he has no idea she's possessed. So
and let's remember that this is usually, again, witchers have a healing factor, but this is the knife that Volothmir initially used to go after witchers when she first made her touchdown,
and it's from a different dimension, so it can kill them. But yeah, so she basically like for this guy, all he knows is that this is Ciri, an orphan girl he welcomed into his home, who's slicing his throat. Like, effing sucks.
I gotta say, Freya Allen,
she killed it.
Kills it this episode.
Yeah, she's much more of a mature actress in this season in general, and it just is like shown during this scene.
And I think they gave her a lot better things because season one was very much about her being confused,
hiding.
And on the run.
Yeah.
Here, and in this episode alone, right, we get possessed Ciri, we get like idyllic Ciri, and then we get regular Ciri when she comes out of it. Like, Freya Allen shows. Speaking of dimensions in this episode, a lot of dimensions from her.
Her eyebrows are different, but her acting is stellar.
Yeah, changed with her eyebrow hair color. And so Ciri is going to go after Vesemir next. Not sure about like the chain of command she's working
on. Well, I think she's just kind of walking down the hall just killing witchers. Like, I don't even think she cares. She's just like, I'm going to kill them all.
And so Geralt comes in and Deathbitch really tries to play it. It's like, Geralt,
she's so good.
What happened? She's outside. And Geralt like immediately calls her on her shit.
Well, yeah, she's like, there's a hooded woman here. Like, I came in here to like hide. And like, I think that he just immediately can tell something's up and that he walks up to her and sees blood on her face. And he's just like, nah.
It looks like she slashes him on the face with the dagger.
She does.
And
yeah,
then
she
runs
cuts
away.
Him. Maybe it'll leave a scar, cute scar.
Oh, I'm trying to remember. Geralt has. Oh yeah, he does. Right when he takes off his shirt,
he has a shit ton of scars
on him.
Not on his beautiful face, though. Unfortunately for him.
The opening credits were awesome. I didn't know if anything could top last season.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
When it was like a big convergence of all these
into
sigils.
The metal, yeah.
But this is the convergence of the spears.
Yeah, literally the convergence of the spears into the tree that's inside Kaer Morhen.
Yeah,
which is so cool because we'll see in this episode that the tree is a monolith.
But I also like that the tree was kind of like, I don't know,
swaying.
A little giffy, right? Like moving a bit.
I like that too. It was cute.
Yeah. So Vesemir is PO'd at this
moment. We're going to basically talk about two points of view here. The first one being Geralt's, which is she's possessed, but we need to save her. Like there's no option where she doesn't come out of this alive.
Yep.
And Vesemir's like, yeah, I'm with you. But also at a certain point, if more witchers are going to die and she's the end of the world, we need to kill Ciri.
Yeah.
And it's like really hard for him to tell Geralt that, but like he, you know, he's in the camp of, you know, not all for one, one for all. It's like, no, we need to save our entire family here.
Well, I really love what Vesemir tells Geralt here, which is calling back to episode two, where he says, like, remember what you told me about Eskel? I had a tough time putting him down, and you said it was for the greater good. He says, daughter or demon, she has done too much damage.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, it's not that she did a little damage and it's done. She is going to cause more damage, so they need to... shut it down now. Mm-hmm. And you'll, and it, she will. Like, Geralt's refusal to, like, let this go. And, like, I mean, I agree with him. Please don't kill your daughter. But
good soapbox to get on, I would say.
I mean, as a mother myself, like, no, F that. I'm saving Ashy, of course.
Even if he was possessed by Sigourney Weaver?
Yes. I will exorcise that demon out of him. I need an old priest and a young priest.
Yeah, and a baby priest.
But yeah, so basically that's the two camps we're in, is the witchers that are like gonna stick with Vesemir no matter what. And then, you know, him basically trying his best to support Geralt. And then that's it, the gets to the end and he's like, we just can't. And yeah, luckily at that point, for some reason, they understand what's happening with Volothmir, even though, like, they should have tried this in the beginning.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that Vesemir in this moment basically says, we'll try things your way, right? Because Geralt does appeal to him. He's like, I need you. We can't give up on her. Witchers don't kill out of fear.
And to be fair, they all do love Ciri. You know, like, they all have grown to, again, like I said, for some reason, Ciri's everybody's, like, BFF. But she's very endearing. They see the value in her. And, you know, they've come to love her. They've made her a little witcher. He was going to make her the first new witcher.
Yeah.
So he's not going to give up on her either. But then it gets to the point where he can't really say, you know, we can't keep going. Everyone's dying.
All right. So let's cut to Syntra here as we deal with some of the fallout. We're not getting to the big scene.
Yeah, but we're starting there.
Yeah. But basically, Dara has now come clean, right? That he was the Manchurian candidate for Redania. You know, tells Philavandrel about what he did. Yeah. I mean, essentially, it seems like off screen, he has also been fired, in a manner of speaking, that Dijkstra basically told him, we don't need your services anymore.
Well, no, he told Dijkstra in the last episode.
Right, but then he also talks about how Dijkstra told him that he wasn't needed either.
Yeah, so I think it was just like we've parted ways.
Yeah,
but
you can't fire me because I quit.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that, so he's coming to Philavandrel and Francesca to come clean, because he feels like because he quit and because he wasn't a good enough spy to Redania, that they retaliated and killed her baby.
Yep.
And that's the reason, he feels like he's the reason that the baby died.
Yeah, this is the leading theory for all the elves, is that this is a target
from Redania.
Redania, because
they sided with Nilfgaard.
Yeah, or that they saw Nilfgaard is too powerful and like
the elves are with Nilfgaard, so they're going to attack the elves.
But, you know, post-traumatic Francesca is cold steely.
Yes, but I was actually pleasantly surprised to see her understanding of Dara's situation.
She is very easy to forgive him.
She's like, no, it's not your fault. Like, you didn't kill my baby. Like, you didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't make decisions about, you know, without knowing, you know, you didn't know what the end result was going to be. So,
Being said, she is still a little calcified, right? Like, you know, Philavandrel is talking about how, oh, you know, they attacked us because of our alliance with Nilfgaard. She's like, nope, they attacked us because we're elves. And it's this idea.
She's gone back. She's basically said, like, this is how she was in the first scene we meet her. It's elf strong, baby. And she...
Oh, don't say baby around her.
Oh, God. No, she's basically like, elves are bust at this point. She's like, can't trust anyone, can't trust mages, can't trust humans, can't trust anyone. So, you know, I think that she has the death of her baby really was, I don't want to say nail in the coffin because it was a death.
I mean, it was the death of like hope for her.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what Death Bitch wanted, because this was the pain of not only her, but now their entire elven community.
Yep. Build them up to the highest point of the roller coaster and then just drop them down.
Yeah. Poor Francesca. I feel for her.
Back at Kaer Morhen, Yennefer has roused Yaskir from his sleep. It really just does seem to make him be a courier, essentially. I will say...
Well, I think she just is like... this is like crisis management. Like, Yennefer's like, I have no magic. What the F can I do to fix this? Because not only does she want to save Ciri, but she kind of wants to fix her relationship with Geralt.
Right, this is an opportunity for her to redeem herself.
Yeah, she wants forgiveness, and she also, you know, wants to do the right thing so that she can be the better person, blah, blah, blah. But she has no magic, so she basically tells Yaskir, you're going to help me... shut the fuck up. Like,
and this is, I will admit, one of the weaker parts of the finale for me is Yaskir and the Jasper.
Totally, I agree. He could have been used so much better in this finale.
Yeah.
Like, giving him a moment to become like the brave hero, you know?
Yeah, to me, honestly, Neville. The jokes didn't necessarily land just because they were so comedic instead of
slapsticky.
You know, a little slapsticky, a little OTT, and just doesn't really fit in with the mood that they were going for. And just the plot point is odd as well, right? That the Jasper... literally the only point it serves is for Geralt to look at it and be like, oh yeah, all right, let's do something else.
She likes pain, so let's not have pain.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't make when Yennefer said like deliver that to Geralt,
I thought it was gonna be like a magic totem or something. So it was weird. But she says she's gonna make a potion, and the potion is gonna draw the Volithmir out of Ciri. That's right, like the plan.
That's the plan right now. Is again, it's that exorcism, right? They're gonna try to pull the spirit out and then like save Ciri and then trap Volithmir, however that means.
Yeah, who's to know what the plan was, but. That I do like the interaction between them in the laboratory.
And I would imagine that's one reason why it's in there is because I think like,
they have good chemistry.
Yennefer and Jaskier, is a fun pairing that we saw in episodes 4 and 5. And so it's nice to go back to that. I wish it was stronger material.
Yeah, agreed. Hopefully it's setting up for season 3 a little bit more Yennefer, Jaskier, like partnership, like buddy cop type of thing.
All right, well, let's go inside Ciri's dream sequence here. So I was a little confused as to, because there are very familiar characters.
Yeah.
Is this supposed to be a recreation of that night that Syntra was sacked?
Yeah, because she
dances with that guy Martin.
She dances with Martin. So I think it's supposed to be like a combination platter of, you know, every sort of ball, whatever. But I do think that it is that because she, Mousak says, like, your mother has your dance card full. Like, it's the same sort of vibe.
Yeah, and he talks about the knighting in the first scene of the episode, and I'm fairly sure there was a knighting. When Calanthe knights somebody in the pilot episode.
Yeah, and there's the knuckle bones. So, like, he's like, if I find knuckle bones in that dress, like, you'll be held to pay. Like, basically insinuating that the scene where she was doing the knuckle bones and then caught and then had to come to the party happened, so...
Yeah, so this is Ciri's opportunity, and Ciri, for her part, you know, despite her willingness to not go later on, does really realize that this is, like, obviously...
The best of times.
And yeah, this is, like, obviously not real, but it's an opportunity for her to sort of make good on loose ends.
Well, and I think this is, like, a common idea of, like, anybody that's been a teenager. Like, you look back on, like, the way you treated your parents as a teenager, and you're like... aghast at yourself. You're like, what did puberty do to me?
Yeah, she flat out tells Calanthe, like, psychoanalyzes her, right?
Like, I get that you just want to protect me.
Yeah, I'll tell you what Nenica told me a couple of episodes
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, exactly. She also is like, when Martin comes up to ask her to dance, instead of immediately like guffawing, like being like, ugh, no, she says, I'd be happy to dance with you, Martin.
Remember Martin? Remember how his dad had to poison him and his wife during the
and then slit his own throat?
Yeah. Oh, that was a wild way to start off the show.
Yeah. But yeah, so she dances with him, and it looks like she's just having like the best time. They're doing that kick dance.
They're
that
doing
they
something
do.
Out of like that the Keira Knightley Pride and Prejudice, right? Of like the lights are awash.
Excuse me, this is not the same era. The same time.
Is Martin Mr. Darcy?
No,
he's Mr.
It's a very similar style of dancing, a partnered dance, and it's like this medieval dance, basically.
Yeah, like everyone stand in two separate lines.
Yes, but in the Regency time, you'd never touch.
Whereas
in medieval times, I think it was allowed
to
touch.
So chaste.
It was the idea of just about touching.
They love foreplay.
They do. They love it. In the form of a weird dance.
Well, speaking of foreplay, let's talk about the freak Cahir and Fringilla. Yeah. So officially now, it seems like Amir is almost here.
Yeah. Also, Cahir just keeps looking more and more weird. In the final scene of this season, he looks bonkers.
It really is the hair for
me. It's like it just keeps going up and up and up. And like they keep teasing it. Like it's very weird.
And also, I just forget sometimes how angular his face is. Like sometimes I'll make Cahir face in the mirror while I just like.
No, I'm used to his face by this point, but in season 1, like, his hair was not this weird.
No, well, probably because it was under a helmet the entire time.
But,
it was
or
the Black
if it,
Knight.
And it wasn't, it was, like, slicked back, and it was, like, fine looking. This is just it's very odd. He looks like he had, like, a bad perm.
Yeah, maybe that's the thing. Maybe the elves gave him a bad perm,
perhaps.
And that's why he's mad. So, perhaps. The big to-do here is, we talked about Fringilla's badass moment last episode, that Cahir's essentially like, all right, listen, if I have to talk you up, here's an idea. The baby's dead.
Yeah,
if
happened.
You take credit for it, Amir's going to be real happy, and I don't have to do as much BSing about how much good you've been doing.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think that for him at this point, I mean, yes, she killed all of the generals, and he's in a position to be nice to her, I guess. But he also sees that he doesn't want to upset her further. You know, he could get hurt, but also, what's the point? I mean, like, she's there, he's there. They're kind of slaves to this Amir white flame
guy. But that's the thing
guy.
About Kahir as well, is I think he does fancy himself like a bit of a strategic genius in a way. And so he's like, oh,
it's not a bad idea. They just got really unlucky that Amir is the one that actually killed the baby.
Yeah, it was. But he also should have maybe suspected that Amir was the one to do it.
I think that proves that neither of them know Amir.
Yeah, but it's two birds, one stone as well, right? Because he's like, well, also, the good news is now, you know, you did it as a gambit because now the elves are taking out Redania. So like, you're actually doing us a big favor. So this is like the big lie that they're going to proceed
with. So he convinces Frangilla's like, I would never do that. She's my friend. And he's like, she's not your friend anymore, bitch. Like, she's out of here.
So Geralt and the Witchers are going to run into on what really is going to be the big set piece for
I
the
think
majority.
We're also told at this point that Francesca and
they've
left.
Yeah, because at the end of that scene, they said, like, steal some horses, and they have ridden away.
And it's, like, confirmed here that they're going north.
Yeah, a bunch of elves have started to leak out. They're starting to leave, and some people are, like, good riddance, but at the same time, there is a little... They're on the warpath.
So there's some concern what they're going to do going north.
Who is this elf? What's she going to do?
Okay.
So the Witchers prepare themselves, and Ciri is just standing in front of the tree.
Yeah, we see the elixir locker.
Yeah, and you're with her elixir locker, and you're probably wondering, like, oh, this is badass, but why is she doing it? Geralt tries to negotiate it first, right? But you don't negotiate with terrorists.
Or possessed children.
Either or. Those are the big two. And so Ciri / Volothmir screams,
yes,
shatters the tree, and revealing, as you mentioned, that it was housing a monolith the entire time.
That's actually a reminder that in the beginning, when she's trying to hide that it's her possessed when she's with Vesemir, Geralt's like, and she's like, and then I screamed. And he's like, and nobody heard you?
Yeah, and you were standing right next to Vesemir.
Because when you scream, it's loud.
Yeah, and so it's... And there's also such a cool effect where... Mm-hmm. So she sends a bunch of Stellacite, like, blasting towards the Witchers.
Yes.
And it tracks over slow-mo to, like, the Witchers putting up their shields.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, like, fast-motion tracks back where essentially all the Stellacite then, like, slams back and starts hitting the Witchers.
Yeah, basically it's like they have to quickly put up their shield and then they have to turn around and put up the shield the other way, and only a few of them are able to do it.
Yeah, but whatever's left of the Stellacite that's not in the body of the Witcher forms a portal.
Yes, a big giant portal, because we see the monolith, and then the portal happens, and then she calls forth a really weird looking basilisk.
Yeah, so I guess the assumption now is we're seeing exactly what the screams do. Like, we've seen the Stellacite fly around, but like, they officially form the portals.
I mean, maybe. I think in this case they do, or at least they've been sucked into the portal, so they're like part of the circular movement. But either way, it's not good.
Yeah, there's some weird-ass basilisks coming out. Nobody has Tom Riddle's diary, so they are SOL right now.
Yeah, these are, like, obviously, like, a different kind of basilisk.
Yeah, these are, like, legged, more lizard-like.
Yeah, they look like weird, like, Tyrannosaurus Rex basilisk lizard things.
Yeah, they look more like dinosaurs,
yeah,
I think,
they
than
do.
The basilisk that we're used to from Harry
Almost
Potter.
Almost like a
which
dragon.
Is, which is more of, like, an eel.
A snake, yeah. Well, and I think also there's a lot of lore for the basilisk that is not the same in The Witcher, which, like, the whole thing where the eyes turn you to stone and like all that sort of stuff is like clearly not part of that, but
yeah. So I will say something I don't love about this climax is just a trope that I'm not a big fan of, which is like the love conquers all idea.
Yeah.
Because that's gonna be Geralt's thing here, right? Is like he's gonna try to get Voldemort and be like, Ciri, if you could hear me, come to the light. We love you, Ciri.
Maybe it's not a bad tactic to try to get her to shake her out of her whatever reverie that she's in. But the idea that, we can yada yada through the basilisk of it all, because there are some cool fights here. But basically, they're hemorrhaging witchers.
Yep. Because these things are like ravaging, like stepping on faces.
Yeah.
Them
and then
tables.
All of a sudden, Vesemir leaves because he can't. You know, he can't stand by Geralt when his witchers are getting killed. And then a big ass basilisk comes out.
Big white one.
And Geralt, in like 2 minutes, slays it.
That was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
That essentially he takes him outside, right? So like this big bridge.
Yeah.
Or like parapets almost. And Geralt is somehow able to single-handedly
just kill it.
An extra dimensional basilisk. Like, there's a
sword
really
through the head, sliced its face
like
open.
Not even through the head, yeah, just like sliced it in half.
Yeah,
like
he did that thing where you put it up through the jaw
and then you pull it out.
Pulled it out. It was disgusting. But
and then you see like it's flapping faces.
Yeah, it was gross. But yeah, he kills that thing in like 2.5 seconds when the other ones were smaller and should have been easier to kill and then were not.
Meanwhile, Ciri's being being pulled out for a second, right? The effect
she
of
hears Geralt.
Yeah, when Geralt talks, it rumbles, yes. Breaking the reverie.
And this is what happens in Labyrinth when she starts remembering who she is and what her mission is. The glass starts shattering.
And so what doesn't help the situation is Dream Mousak brings her back to be like, oh, don't worry about that. Don't you want to give your father a dance?
And she says, oh, no, your dad is waiting. He wants to dance with you. Like, as if it's like commonplace.
And
like,
here comes the trump card of Dooney and Pavetta walking in. And she is stunned because, again, she never met them.
No, she never met them. She does know what her mom looks like based off of like previous visions she's had.
Yeah.
And her dad, like, she saw them in the previous. And maybe she's seen photos
or whatever. Maybe they were like photos. Yes, she saw Polaroids of them.
Paintings, whatever. But she's like so in awe about like interacting with them that it like sucks her back in 100%. She's like, these are my parents.
Yeah. And you see there's this shot of like Ciri's in the eye, right? And then like the eye renews its greenness to be like, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And so Geralt is like, they're all fighting, everyone's fighting. He's, you know, it's coming to the point where Vesemir's like, we're gonna have to kill this bitch.
Yeah.
But
I mean, and at this point, this is when he stabs Ciri. Like,
he stabs her.
Because Geralt,
stomach,
obviously, again, he was doing his own thing with the white basilisk, and Vesemir is seeing red all around him, and he just goes up and stabs her. And we see some little fireflies leak out, but then the wound just closes up.
Yeah, she heals herself. But the other thing is, Yaskir through this entire time has been like crawling under tables, trying to get Geralt this jasper, and eventually he like throws it on the ground, and Geralt sees it, and he knows the meaning of it, and this is for some odd reason why he understands what he needs to do now.
Right, it's a real A
to C. A little tropey.
It's really A to C for me, first and foremost, and it does lead to that trope, right, of him being like, because, you know, Volothmir taunts, poor witchers, you feel everything, don't you, especially hatred, and Geralt's like, oh, she's right, because we hate her, and we hate the monsters, it's making her stronger, so we need to appeal, you know, as a pacifist.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with his take on the whole thing, that this is how they're gonna beat her. What I don't love is the standing up next to each other like, we love you, Ciri,
yeah,
come back,
like,
to us.
It's like, this is a weird poll, the end of Halloween Town,
yes,
when everyone holds hands, or like the end of Elf when everyone has to sing Santa Claus is Coming to Town to like bring the sleigh back to life.
And it's not like I didn't mind it when I was watching it, but now in retrospect I'm like, yeah, it was super cheesy.
And not to say that like this show has to be super dark all the time, it just felt a little too preening for me, and this was the weakest part of, I think, what was a very strong episode overall, but I just think it was one of those things that kind of pulled me out of it, of like, no, we need to learn to love each other.
It also happened really quickly. You were like, wait, what's happening?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We did skip over something. Let's rip off that Band-Aid. We're in Redania.
Yeah, so we had said earlier that Francesca and Filivandro and a group of elves were going north, and she's on the warpath. So she's walking through the streets, and I think it's her brother that's with them.
Yeah, so it's the entire group. So Filivandro's there, Dara's there.
Yeah, but I think that other guy is her brother.
Yeah, Gage. Yeah, Gage is her brother. It's weird. You'd think he'd play a larger part, certainly more than Filivandro, considering that it seems like from the stories Francesca has told, they sort of have like been through the ringer together. Yeah. But after that first episode with the elves,
we didn't see him.
He's kind of been just like in the background for a bit. But yeah, so basically Francesca is doing the 10th plague.
Yeah,
here.
So we sort of, before we see her, we see this mother just like with her, you know, her baby's crying. The nursemaid can't get the baby to calm down. The mother comes over and she's like, oh, no worries. Like, I'll calm the baby down. And you see this like thing start appearing on the baby's chest.
Yeah, this like sigil gets burned on her chest, which like, is the same one burned on the door.
Yeah, and so Francesca's walking down the street. Any house that has a baby, she's just putting this sigil on the door. And then you hear all the babies screaming. And she just like puts up her hands and they all stop screaming.
God, it's gutting.
It was so bad.
And then they stop screaming and then it's a pause and then it's mother's a chorus
crying.
Of everyone wailing.
Yes, it was awful. I hated every second of it. I skipped it actually in my rewatch.
Yeah, I mean, so Francesca has clearly proven like what this new version of her is, which is again like very
ruthless.
Calcified, absolutely ruthless.
But for no, I get why in her mind, but this doesn't accomplish anything. It does not accomplish a single thing.
No,
which
well,
is
I
so
think it's,
frustrating.
I think it's this blood for blood thing, in a manner of speaking, as well. And I think to her, it's this idea of enough is enough. You know, we have been under the boots of humans. We welcomed them into our realm, and we have been so subservient.
She now thinks of humans as not like legitimate and not the same, like not. I don't want to say not human, but like not, they don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
They're not real. They're insignificant.
And she's also beyond approach.
Collateral damage.
Her own brother approaches her and says, you know,
okay, enough.
I know what you've been through. And she just replies, no, you don't. What has been may not always be.
Yeah. And she also just, I think it sucks because he kind of, Filivandro and him are watching this and they're like, we shouldn't be doing this. They're like, this is not right.
Yeah. So we'll talk about this. We're going to do a wrap up show next week where I want to talk about like the storylines throughout
what?
Season 2 and then look ahead to season 3. And I do think one of the larger questions that we'll save for that is like, what comes next for the elves? To your point, could there be like a Francesca overthrow in the picture?
Yeah, I mean, probably. I think Filivandro was the king at one point. Maybe he'll be the king again.
Just keep switching back and forth.
But so she kills all the babies and that really sucks.
It's rough. It's very rough. You think that, okay, we got our one baby kill out of the way for a Witcher season, but they just magnified it by an entire town.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. So let's go back to a more idyllic atmosphere, the dream palace of Ciri. Where essentially, like, now she really is torn back and forth, right? Like, Geralt is telling her in this big passionate speech to
she
come
can hear
home.
Him, yeah. And she, it's not like she's hearing everything they're saying. She's hearing Geralt and she's like remembering stuff. So she's remembering, like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, this isn't right. This is weird. And so everybody starts like disintegrating, everything starts falling apart. And basically, at the end, it's just Pavetta, Dooney, and her.
Yeah, so that happens in a second. Because right now, she initially refuses, right? Like, Pavetta and Dooney extend their hands. They're like, oh, you belong with us. And
yeah, I know. Says, I kind of just yada yada.
But, that's the big moment, though. Because this is when Yennefer decides
to accept
Volothmir into her. She makes the sacrifice, but it doesn't really end up, you know, making
I kind of was just going to talk about what happened in the dream world and then talk about Yennefer, but that's fine.
We'll
bounce around like a bouncy ball.
Exactly. Like a nice little thing of jasper, apparently, that's flying around the room. So Yennefer,
which is a rock.
Well, Yennefer is going to... Apparently, this jasper, again, is the freaking, like, paragon. As Yennefer also looks at it, he's like, I must right my wrong.
Yeah, it's so stupid because, like, they set it up that jasper is going to be a magical implement and it's going to help Geralt. But, like, I guess the understanding is that Yennefer thought it would just... teach him something the whole time.
It seems like liquid luck, like more symbolic
maybe.
Than anything.
I totally agree with you. I just don't know, did Yennefer think that when she gave it to Yaskir, or was she just kind of like throwing anything at the wall?
Remind Geralt to right or wrong.
Yeah,
but you know what, maybe it was she was trying to get Geralt to get back with her.
Maybe
she's like, oh, send this as a
or
hint.
She was just like, Yaskir, here, just bring this to Geralt. It might be something. Yeah, like, Not sure.
Let me give him something to do.
Yeah.
So he won't bother me.
And also, like, maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I'll figure it out in the meantime. But she comes in with the potion and she just, like, drops it on the ground and picks up the glass and slices her wrists open.
Which, I mean, the plows have certainly been through that field, so to say. If we remember, she tried to commit suicide on her first day at Aretusa. This was one of the things that she insisted on keeping during her brutal makeover, right? Mm-hmm. As sort of like a symbol of what she has gone through.
Well, and also Geralt is like, oh, take me as a vessel. Volthmir is like, nah. And then Yennefer does it and, like, I guess she accepts the transfer.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's this idea of, like, being a vessel of chaos in a way.
Well, yeah, like, she wants a powerful vessel, and, like, either way, she opened a portal, like, she's going home, so.
Yeah, and also, it gives Yennefer enough magic to start reciting this spell.
Yes.
That then
pull her out. Yeah,
that then causes the dream world to collapse, and this is pretty brutal as well. We get a little bit of, like, Avengers Infinity War stuff, where all of the dreamlike versions of Ciri's family are, like, begging her, like, no, please stay, don't make us die.
Yeah, it's very, like, theatrical.
But the big thing to take away, and Lauren Schmidt-Hishrich even pointed this out in the after show, is if you looked closely, you see Pavetta and Dooney, and Pavetta is fading to dust.
Yeah.
Bold Dunes, he's nice and corporeal.
He is. He doesn't fade to dust. And I think
he's not dead.
He's not dead. He also does sort of, like, turn to Pavetta and, like, is, like, touching her hand. So it's, like, maybe, like, Ciri wouldn't notice that, but... Yeah, he doesn't turn to dust. She just, like, she zaps out. She's like, no, I have to go home. Bye.
And I really like this line from Geralt where Dooney tells her, you know, you belong with us. And Geralt says, we belong together. You, us. It's not perfect, but it is real.
Yeah.
It's yours. We are your family and we need you. And Ciri just says, I have to go home. And she turns her back.
Yeah.
Hut, hut. And ends up, and it's a really cool tracking shot, right?
Where, like, yeah, it is good.
Everything is darkening around her, and then it just ends up sort of like when we did
she kind of falls down.
Yeah, like when we did the Dol Duja, right? Mm-hmm. When it was, like, pulling her seamlessly out of the world and into reality, the same thing happens here.
Yeah, exactly. So, well filmed.
Very much so. And so now Ciri is officially back. Volothmir is out of her.
Yeah, the Firefly's sparks, embers are going into Yennefer.
Right, and so now it's Geralt is now saying to her, like, hey, welcome back. Can you use your uncontrollable chaos magic to essentially send this death bitch back through the portal?
Yeah, exactly. So, and what happens is she actually transports herself, Geralt, and Yennefer through the portal.
Yeah, because it's this thing where, like, Yennefer gets pulled through and, like, Geralt grabs them both. And I'm assuming just by that association, the three of them happen to get zapped into this other plane.
Well, I think Ciri zaps them in and she's the and she's the one that zaps them out.
Oh, that's true. She does zap them out.
But yeah, so she zaps them in, she zaps them out. But yeah, they zap into this, like, what you can only describe as, like, a Tatooine, like, desert planet.
Yeah, but
with
even
red
worse.
Skies.
It looks,
and...
Yeah, it looks more Marsy, I would say.
What's so funny is I there's so many things in this episode that I've been trying to, like, I'm, like, holding back saying because you would never get the reference, but a lot of it is from the Mortal Instruments book series that I read quite often.
I mean, you can tell it to me. It'll fall on deaf ears. But
I know.
Think someone
Maybe
there
somebody
understand.
Understands it. But in the series, there are these different realms, and one of them is like Edom, which is where Lilith, the
vampire queen.
She's not. Yes, but she's also she was kicked out of the Garden of Eve, and she's like a demon type of vibe. But she has a realm, and it's Edom, and it's like this. There's two red suns. It's a totally, like, desiccated planet type of vibe, and it's, like, very much all red, and, like, it's, like, sand and all of that sort of stuff. Like,
and so for those that didn't tune into the spoiler
very
sections.
Very dystopian.
Yes. For those that didn't tune into the spoiler sections when we were doing the podcast, all the times that we had, like, Ciri's little visions where someone was talking to her, this is the plane. These are the red skies.
Yeah.
And we see who is talking to her as Volothmir, little Firefly, is like, bye, thanks for the ride.
Yeah, so basically we find out at this point that all she wanted to do was go home.
Yeah.
Which is really funny to me. It's just so stupid.
She seems to help form into the body of the Wild Hunt.
Well, what I think, I think that this is one of the spheres, and the beings that live in this sphere are made up of that fire and those embers.
Okay, so it wasn't Volothmir that becomes the leader of the Wild Hunt.
No, or they're all just part of, like, one essence.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, like, an ether.
Yeah, so, like, I think that that's what's going on. I don't think that she's the same. But anyway, so the Wild Hunt appears.
Yep, and so they're no myth anymore, and we get the typical child of the elder blood, starry-eyed daughter of chaos, Join the hunt. Your place is among us.
So just another thing coming so after
just,
Siri. Yeah,
just another. Now like an extra dimensional sect is coming
They're
after
like, come
Siri.
Hang out with us.
But TBD on that, as Siri is able to pull them back through as like they're about to grab her. And Geralt's like, I don't care about that. You're safe.
Yeah.
We're all safe. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
We just have to clean up a little bit of furniture and bodies, but we're all right.
Just on some dead basilisks.
Yeah, but Yennefer is back, baby. She has a moment where she walks up to Cohen, right, who is obviously dealing with a lot, and she recites some words, and the wound heals. Mm-hmm. So the groove is officially back.
Yeah, so she has her magic back, which is like, I'm happy about, but also a little bit coincidental.
And it is this weird thing now, and we'll talk about this next week with season three, like, What did the process of losing her magic change about her? I know that is something that a sticking point some people had with that storyline.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about it when we look over his character. So Vesemir basically tells Geralt, like, all right, I guess we got to start over now. And Geralt's like, no, I'm getting the F out of here. There's a wild hunt that is trying to chase down Ciri.
Yeah, he's, you know, I think this was what he said before. Like, he's like, we can't stay here. Like, this is clearly, you know, where... wherever she goes, chaos is following her, and you know, magically as well as like physically, and all of these different people, because basically at this point there are just a bajillion people after Ciri. Like, there are so many people coming for this girl.
There's something about Ciri, I'll say it again.
There's something about Ciri.
Can't wait for Brett Favre to show up in season three. Well, it's interesting though, what I love in terms of the script here is Geralt talks about like, hey, if these royals find out about what Ciri is capable of, they won't stop. Cut to Taseya telling the royals about what Ciri is capable of.
This is the first time I saw Taseya in like a fairly negative light. The way she's sitting in the chair was like a little bit like totally different character.
It's a little bit like the very first time we saw her, right? It's sort of like the very snappy, shrewd headmistress.
Yeah, we grew to love her. We grew to understand her as like a human being, like more than this, you know, it's kind of bitch, you know? So now she's back to being this like high level. And this is the Brotherhood. This is her gathering the Northern Kingdoms and like giving them an update and like combining all of their powers to like, she's the representative of the Brotherhood in this regard.
With one exception, Redania has kind of been frozen out.
Yeah.
Because Taseya clocked the fact that Dijkstra came to get information out of them and says, Redania is doing some shady shit without you. So like, they're not in on this.
Yeah. And I mean, it's true. Basically, Dijkstra is like, King Vesemir wants to marry Ciri to claim Sintra for himself. And she basically says, Taseya is like, what we need to do is put a bounty on Ciri and anyone who would protect her. And
that's going to be a big to do for season three. Yeah. Is that now, you know, print up some more wanted posters to add some more faces to that.
Totally. But yeah, basically Taseya is like causing some, we're introducing some other characters here as well that we did see briefly.
Yeah.
In that.
So there was this like new female ruler, it seemed like, right? So like, she was very much like, I'm new here.
Yeah, her name is Queen Maeve, and she's a protagonist of the video game Thornbreaker: The Witcher Tales.
Okay.
I looked it up, but
Queen Maeve sounds familiar from the game.
Yeah,
so
I didn't know about her really. So, loved her accent though.
Yeah, it was almost like, I thought it was American
at
first.
She was 100% that bitch.
Yeah, she took a DNA test.
She did. No, she was great. She had like a good vibe.
Yeah, so we'll see hopefully more of her. This could be another like Vilgefortz thing, right? Where like a character gets introduced in the last episode and then plays a larger role
totally.
In the next season.
Same with Philippa, which we're going to find out about shortly.
But first, let's look at Lydia's freakish face.
Yeah, so we see the back of somebody.
Of somebody's head.
And this is supposedly the person that they've been talking about meeting up with the whole time.
They're finally meeting with the employer.
Yeah, the employer. And Reince is just like, I don't know what to tell you. We don't have her.
And it seems like he's now in, right?
He's
like
in
initially
on it.
He was hired by Lydia to do this. And now he's like, nope, in for a penny, in for a pound. I want to do this. And Lydia, we now see like,
this was great because this is what she looks like in all of the imagery that you see of her.
Sickening. Like the fact that, you know,
and it was well done.
Her lips are burned off. The fact that like, I guess her vocal cords were scarred.
Yeah. Now she
can
only communicate telepathically. Yeah. She's gross.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, hate to say it.
Yeah, exactly. And so we check in briefly here with the elves, right? Gage says, okay, we did our thing. We had a revenge. Let's go back to Zintria. And Francesca's like, nope. We dug a mass grave when they let humans in. I don't want revenge. I want justice. Never a good thing to hear.
No. And you can see it in her, in Gage and Philivandrel's eyes. They're like, uh-oh, she's off the rails.
And what doesn't help here is let's add another name to this We Want Ciri list. Istrid. Yes. Is caught. He has sort of just been following them because he had found out a couple of episodes ago about Henny Kir, the whole prophesized weapon built by the elves. And so Francesca's like, now I don't know. She says that she'll be the one to save us, but I would imagine, given her new attitude, that it's less about like you will be our savior and more like you will be our white knight that will lead us into battle.
Yeah, exactly. Because her whole thing is. Ithilien's prophecy is that the elves will be able to be fine after the planet is like rebirthed in ice or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like this white frost, I think they call it.
Yeah. Regardless, it's like that's what she believes is going to happen. And if Ciri can help them get to that point, you know, great.
Yeah. So it's interesting. We'll talk about this, I think, a bit more next week about like the various parties, but it seems like some want to marry Ciri, some want to kill Ciri. The elves want to like worship Ciri.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's Geralt and Yennefer who just want to help Ciri.
So there's a little bird who. It's okay.
Untellable.
So there's a little birdie hoot in the background, and finally, finally, Philippa Earhart makes her live action appearance in The Witcher.
Yeah, and this was like a weird scene too, because Dijkstra is just kind of like doing his makeup or something.
Yeah, he's like shaving his head while of course shirtless.
Well, of course shirtless. He's a weirdo. But yeah, so we finally see Philippa Earhart, the sorceress ally of Dijkstra and Redania.
I love her outfit. I always love when people who take like the wild shape and transform into animals if they wear pieces of clothing that invokes.
Oh yeah,
that.
her little like shoulder pads made of feathers were amazing.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
Love the costuming choice.
But yeah, so basically Dijkstra's like, this is what's gonna happen. Vizimir's gonna marry her. Like, we need to like keep an eye on things.
And Philippa's like, well, the elves are joining up and you lost Dara. And he's like, well, we have other sources to cash in. And I think it's time the bard pays back his benefactor. Hint, hint, we only know of one bard on the show.
That's what I was gonna say. It was like, they say the bard like as if it's like gonna be some big secret, but it basically sounds like Yaskir owes Dijkstra a favor. Like, he's like, I don't think it's going to be good.
No, but I'm really excited to hopefully see Graham McTavish and Joey Beatty scenes.
Well, that's the
three.
Other thing, too. I think with Yaskir, he's kind of run, I don't want to say run his course with Geralt, but like, there's not much to do.
Yeah,
there.
They had their makeup period. Like, they have a great dynamic together.
There needs to be more for him if he's going to be part of it.
Well, especially if we have now the family all together, right? Of Yennefer, Ciri, and Geralt. Like, Yaskir is going to kind of be the odd fourth wheel
he's
on that
the tricycle. Uncle.
Yeah,
he's
very
the
true.
Weird uncle, who
but he's
sings.
Not even in this scene. So no. we're back on the parapets, right? Where Geralt essentially like
notices, this is a really well shot scene too.
Yeah, where they notice that Yennefer's whole again, and he basically says,
"I don't forgive you."
But they say, but he sort of offers an olive branch, right? Being like, "Let's just start over.
Let's stay together for the kids," basically.
Oh yeah, that always works out incredibly well. Well, it's literally right. He tells Yennefer like,
sometimes it does. You've seen Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's very true. So does that mean that Geralt has to dress up like? Oh, I'm.
You know, truly, I think that you would love to see.
I'm Mrs. Witcherface.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, no!
That's right. Correct.
So, but Geralt does want Yennefer to stick around to train Ciri in magic because it is unmitigated.
She needs
AF.
It. No, she needs it. And I do think that from my perspective, it's like she needs help. He's helped her enough. He's not sure where.
Nanika told him multiple times, right? Like, you can only do so much. And so I think he's finally realizing that. Such great dialogue here where they find Ciri sitting outside and Ciri's like, I'm tired, Geralt. And Geralt says, I'm tired too, but what of it?
Yeah, life goes on. This is what I tell myself every day.
Yeah, it's this idea of like, well, so are we all. That
I'm
just
pretty
means
fucking tired of COVID-19 and raising an under 5-year-old during this time. But, life goes on.
Yeah, and he adds, you don't have to be alone. on this. You might feel alone, that you're being pulled towards some odd thing and literally everyone is out to get you. But yeah. What is destined cannot be avoided. And Yennefer adds, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I think also giving her own
I think she's like, wink, wink, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah, her own hint of like, hey, I was pissed off about the whole destiny thing before with the djinn, but like, I'm good now.
But also like, I love you, is what she's saying.
So Geralt sort of puts two and two together, right, about how he realizes now the monoliths were actually gateways mm-hmm. to other spheres. But one little thing is stuck in my craw. Everyone's onto you, but how did Nilfgaard catch on so early to the power that you possess?
Yeah, how did they catch on so early?
Cut to...
the dunes!
Back of the headshot as Emir finally...
Maybe this is where Cahir gets his hair from, because I do feel like Amir's hair is a little weird.
I love that idea that Cahir wants to be Emir. And so
it's
he
a little weird here. Like, I will say his hair is a little odd.
I loved, speaking of the wardrobe changes,
that,
ironically enough, for the White Flame, like, they are now decked out in black for the occasion.
Well, and you see they pan down to his ring and it's the sigil of the White Flame, and they're following him, and basically he isn't turned around yet, and he's saying to them, like, you guys are really fucked up.
Yeah, but they're trying to really...
They're trying to play it off, like, oh.
Frangilla's like, oh, after I did this, now the elves do our budding.
They keep looking at each other, too, and it's like, they keep, like, wink-winking, like...
It's working. I can't believe
it. I know, it's like, come on, guys.
And so...
Keep it together.
Emir holds up that ringed finger and just says, I'm gonna stop you right there, and reveals, as the music builds, I was the one that killed the elven child. It was the best path to help me find... my daughter.
Yeah, because he
dun,
said
dun, dun.
He turns around and it's Dooney.
It is Ciri's assumed dead father, and the last thing that happens in season 2 of The Witcher is that Frangilla and Cahir are taken into custody.
Yeah, because he basically says, take these guys away, they're not on our side.
We'll see. Again, we'll do a lot more prognosticating next week as to like where we think the characters are going in season 3. I'm assuming with Frangilla.
I didn't even remember that Cahir and Frangilla get arrested, so like, I feel like that's not gonna stick.
Yeah, and the big reveal is much more about, you know, the Dooney of it all, but Cahir might be heading back to a prison for the second time in 3 seasons.
Maybe it'll help his hair.
Maybe, yeah. That beard, though, is going to make a comeback, which is not very good.
Oh, and this is bad for Frangilla. She never wanted to be in that cage again.
I know, and he saved her from a cage. Now mm-hmm. he's putting her in one. That's the finale of The Witcher Season 2, and that's The Witcher Season 2 in general.
In general, what'd you think?
So the finale I really enjoyed. You know, it was a little disparate at times, but there are so many. It's become such a big ensemble now that they kind of like had to wrap up some disparate threads.
I loved it. I think it was amazing. I'll take anything from The Witcher. But I will say that I did miss a little bit of the monster of the week. Geralt finds a monster, solves the problem, moves on to the next town of it all. And I hope that in season 3, we do get a little bit more of that vibe now that they're all together. You know, they're traveling, they're learning, you know, whatever. Maybe they're, you know, accomplishing something in one episode that is kind of like a button on the episode and that doesn't have to move on, you know. But I do like the epic fantasy series vibe that they brought here.
Yeah, a bit of the season 1 stuff in the very first episode that, to your point, if you listen back to that podcast, we were wondering like, okay, are we going serialized or are we doing more episodic? It turns out much more episodic. You know, some of my favorite episodes, like Redaining Intelligence, were more episodic.
They were. But I do feel like there with the Geralt stuff, it was never in that vein.
Yeah.
And I would like to see a little bit more of that, like, you know, monster hunting.
Yeah, we're leaving Kaer Morhen behind.
Be the Witcher.
And especially this idea, right, of now this realization of what monsters can lurk out there. Yeah. I would like to see more monster hunting now. And especially with... like both a draw and a weapon in the form of Ciri next to you.
Right. And I
mean?
Do hope that moving forward also, and we can talk about this next week, but like that Ciri, it's a little bit less about what she is and more about, you know, moving forward.
Like, yeah, I think it should be less about what she is and more so what she's going to do with it.
Yeah. Because I think in this season, we were like, well, we didn't know about the Elder Blood, and now we know about the Elder Blood. We didn't know about her wanting to become a Witcher, and now we know about that. And now she's Geralt's BFF, and I don't know.
I would say season 2 introduced some necessary growing pains where the introduction
exposition,
of the introduction of a lot of these characters, right, between Redania, between Rience and Lydia, between the elves, was a
Vesemir,
lot of
Vesemir.
Yeah, again, like we had to stop so many places over the course of this episode, but I hope it means that we get like this was what we had to go through to get like further things built out and more character interactions, especially like it was cool to see Dijkstra go to Aretuza.
Yeah, for sure.
It was cool to see Rience face down with Geralt and with Vesemir. So I'm hoping for more of that in the future, that there's more like interweaving instead of characters, much like season 1, you know, set on separate paths. I'm hoping we can do that a bit more and really build
Maybe
out that
season
world.
Season 3 will be two different timelines.
I do not think people would like that.
I don't know if you heard the sarcasm in my voice, but it was there.
Just a smidge of it. But overall, I would say, you know, the finale was very fun. Love the set piece of the Basilisk fight. I think Freya Allen just really, it's the culmination of like all the really fantastic work that
and
she did.
The Dooney of it all.
Yeah, the Dooney of it all. I mean, I was stunned.
I had to keep that like pretty under wraps while we were watching it.
And it's interesting because from what I've heard in the books, it's something that happens really late in the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you could... It's understandable why they had to do it for the show, because you can't just show the back of this dude's head the entire time.
Yeah, and the other thing was, I think that for a time, it was he, if you looked it up, and I'm not sure, let me look it up now, but on IMDb, I told you, I was like, stay away from IMDb, because I think that the actor listed as Dooney also is listed as Amir. And it's like, that's not great. You know what I mean? Like, that's like the biggest twist. And it's, you know, but
we'll talk about this next week. Yeah. It sets up a lot of exciting possibilities, right? The fact that everyone is hunting for Ciri, but like, there is a blood connection. We just saw how torn Ciri was when she had to choose between like found family and blood family.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be good that her dad is back, because she's going to be like, where were you?
Yeah.
Like, where were you?
Yeah, but he also might spin, again, this is a cult leader, right? Yeah. He might be able to spin a web of like, no, I did it to protect you.
Right.
You know, your mother
I've
was
been
the
looking
one.
For you this whole time. Your grandmother wouldn't let me near you, something
like
that.
Yeah, exactly. I could very easily see him spin that yarn. That makes me excited as well.
Yeah, see, it says Dooney, Amer, Urchin Dooney, White Flame. Like, just laid it all out there.
Thanks,
for us.
IMDb. But yeah, I'm excited for it because... You know, this is an opportunity to have those characters meet, which is going to be a big deal. And the White Flame has also just been this presence that's been talked about. And now we finally get to get a freaking face and voice to the person, which makes me happy as well. He's not some like ubiquitous presence.
No, and he's a vibe.
He's a mood.
He is a mood.
And not to mention on top of like all the political stuff going on with Redania, you know, maybe we'll finally meet the employer of Rience and Lydia as well.
We have, and we will.
There's a lot of irons in the fire that makes me very excited.
We'll see his face, hopefully.
Yeah.
Maybe
we'll see his hands. We'll just go one body part at a time.
Maybe.
So that's going to do it for this podcast. We'll get much more into our overall thoughts on season 2 and looking ahead to season 3 next week in our wrap-up show.
And I think we'll also talk a little bit about Blood Origin next week.
Yes, for those of you that did not stay
so
through the... didn't see the credits of The Witcher season 2, they put in the very first footage of... Blood Origin to, I think it's Rihanna's Burn, I think is the song.
I don't remember.
Like a slowed down version of it. Works a lot better than Monster for the Witcher season 2 trailer.
But it's okay.
Yeah. So we'll talk a bit about that as well. Freaking Michelle Yeoh as an elf.
She's great. She's already great. I love her.
Because that's going to be the next Witcher project coming at some point in 2022. So if you have feedback overall about the season, about the series, the direction it's going, write in mike@poshorecaps.com. There is a channel for The Witcher on the Posho Recaps patron Discord at the $10 level. Just like send us all questions and thoughts. We'll go through that. We'll give our own thoughts. I would love to do like a grading system for like each of the character storylines in the season, because
you
there were
love
so many.
To do that. You economics major.
I was a teacher in another life.
Clearly.
And then we'll look ahead to season 3 and then The Witcher coverage ends, but we got one more week.
Yep.
I was very happy to talk about this through 8 weeks with you. It was nice to sort of like savor the show.
Ugh, I had to sit with you for 8 weeks.
I know.
It's fine.
I love you.
I love you.
We love you out there for listening to us.
Thank you.
All season long. If you want to rate and review, we're at the end of the season, but if you care to do
so. We'll be back.
Listen, as Geralt says, like, we have to love. We can't feed on hate. So poshorecaps.com/WitcherPod for our Witcher only feed. Of course, check out all the other stuff going on in Post Show Recaps, The Legend of Vox Machina, The Gilded Age, Down the Hatch,
I think I'll be on the Gilded Age podcast coming up next week.
Oh yes, awesome. So you'll talk about Regency era, though I don't think that's
not the Regency era, it's the Gilded Age.
I guess that's true. What does the Gilded Age mean? It must be some sort of like...
I'm not going to explain it
no,
to you.
No, it's early 20th century, right? Like, that's when it takes place. Yes. But that should be very fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, it's before that, actually, but that's fine.
Would you recommend the show to people out there in general?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're a fan of Downton Abbey, watch it. Because it's like, first of all, it's beautiful. It's the same thing we were just talking about in The Witcher with the costuming and the aesthetic value. It's like... They nailed it, you know, nail on the head, and it's like almost over the top how beautiful it is. It is a little
soapy.
Yeah, of course. It's upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah, it's Downton Abbey.
Yeah, but it's in New York in the early, the coming of New York. So there's like really cool scenes where you see like Bethesda Park, you see like all of the Bethesda Fountain, Central Park. And yeah, watch it. It's fun.
If you like,
it's a nice romp.
If you like those era costumes and you like Broadway actresses,
there's literally 5,000 Broadway actors and actresses in this show.
Yeah. So we're just waiting for a musical number to break out. So you can check that out as well. The Book of Boba Fett just had a wild cameo filled episode this past week.
The Book of Boba Fett.
Yes. And so many things happening on Post Show Recaps right now. If you want to become a patron, it's early in the month as well. Lots of things, whether it be early access to bonus podcasts or it be that Discord I just mentioned. We have stickers for our $15 patrons this month. It is not Josh and I naked, but it is our faces on the Down the Hatch logo as made by Sammy Kappa, which I've always really enjoyed. So if you want that, at the $15 level. But no matter what, your support all season long has really meant a lot. This is like new coverage of us for The Witcher. And I know we came in a bit of a season late, but it's a show that Angela and I both really love. Mm-hmm. Hope you all loved as well. And hope you all love the coverage too.
Yeah.
And we should also mention we're finishing up The X-Files. We're doing our like penultimate
trying to finish
recap
it.
Recap of season
just
9.
Just keeps going and going.
Yeah, well, listen, if you're not into shows that have some baby trauma around it, maybe you don't want to deal with
skip this week on The X-Files.
Really, it's all tying together, and by that I mean child trauma. So, when it rains it pours, I suppose.
Truly.
In that regard. So, that's going to do it for this week on The Witcher Pod. Thank you all so much for listening. I will once again throw it to myself singing a song in the style of Jaskier. My benefactor is not Dijkstra, though I shall see if a like burly, bare-chested, bald man comes knocking at my door demanding recompense. Then I'll realize I tangled with the wrong man. But join our patrons if you have the wherewithal to do so. We'll be back next week, season 2 feedback show. Send us your feedback. Until then, take care. Bye-bye. I told you to toss a coin. You ate it up like sirloin. But now it's 2022, and I've got a song anew, and I want you to join. Post Show Recaps, join. And podcasts and stuff that's bizarre. So join Patreon, join Patreon, join. Join our patrons and support the arts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.